Hey everybody, welcome back to the Fat Loss Simplified podcast, where we teach you how you can lose 20 or more pounds of fat, heal your relationship with food, and be proud of what you see in the mirror without obsessing over food choices, spending hours in the gym, or giving up your social life. And today we're continuing on in our The Guide series. But before we do that, I wanted to remind you of some opportunities that are available for you to make your life easier and get you to your goals even faster. One of those opportunities is that you can schedule a free lifestyle audit, and that's down in the show notes. You can go ahead and click on that link and schedule a free lifestyle audit. And what that free lifestyle audit is just the time to sit down with me and to take a look at where you currently are and some of the big rocks that you can move to see the fastest results possible, customized for you. And that's a one-off session. I would be more than happy to do that for you. Also, we just finished putting together something that was really beneficial for our clients, and that's when somebody first starts with us, one of the first things that people say is that they're really trying to figure out how they can brainstorm for higher protein meal options. Because when you think about the average American diet is really filled with carbs. And when you think about what we've been talking about in the guide series, that makes sense. The reason that our diet is filled with carbs is because when you think about the food industry, and we mentioned this in a previous episode as well, but when you think about the food industry's priority is to sell their product. And it's going to be really hard for them to sell their product if they fill their product full of protein, because you're going to feel satisfied and you're going to be way less likely to buy more. And so our diet is mostly filled with carbs because most of the foods that are in the grocery store are filled with carbs, which just makes sense. I don't fault the food companies for that or the food industry for that. They're businesses and they're trying to make a living, but carbs are cheaper to produce. They're less satisfying for us, which increases the profit margin, as well as the lifetime value of us, which is the customer. So in order to solve that problem, I put together our Recipes for Results cookbook. It is an ebook filled with 50 recipes with breakfast, lunch, dinner, as well as snack options. That's available for you down in the show notes below, because I know even people reached out to me as a result of this show that we've been producing and reached out to me and said, you know what? I really would love to get higher protein in my diet, but I'm struggling to figure out how. Well, that's how. You can go down and you can see examples of some recipes. And I don't like to view them as like eat these foods, because it's not a list of good foods. It's just a list of options that are all higher protein. And you can take those, you can start using them right away, but you can also learn from them and adapt some of your own favorite recipes to be higher protein as well. But with all that being said, let's get right into the show. And as I've already mentioned, today we're jumping into the topic of fats. And just like carbs last week, fats can be a little bit of a controversial topic. Now, carbs have kind of become villainized today, just like fats were villainized in the past. And we talked about this in our The Guide series under the carb section. But in the past, people were really afraid of eating, in particular, saturated fats. And so what that brought to the marketplace is that it brought a lot of low-fat options into the marketplace, and people were actually encouraged to eat higher carb meals, which led to, you know, breakfast cereals being part of this complete and balanced breakfast. Because back then, carbs were seen as the positive alternative to fats. Well, today, the script has been flipped, and fats are what everyone talks about, and carbs are what everyone villainizes. And I think that now that we're talking about fats as well in that same context, it would be helpful for all of us to just realize the key truth. And that is that proteins, fats, and carbs, none of them are bad. In particular, we're going to see the pendulum swing back and forth between fats and carbs, because there's been study and study and study done that all show the huge positive benefits of protein. So I don't think protein will ever really be villainized. I hope. It would be really bizarre if it was. But the pendulum, I can kind of foresee swinging back and forth between fats and carbs. Which ones are good for you? Which ones are bad for you? And the truth is that both of them are a good part of a balanced diet, depending on some factors. We talked about one of those factors last week when we talked about carbs, and that is that if you're a high-performing athlete, you're not going to want to skimp out on your carbs, because carbs are the preferred energy source for both your brain as well as your muscles. And so if you're a high-performing athlete, you're going to want to incorporate carbs. But alternatively, fats are not bad either. Fats are, however, a more of a dense macronutrient. So what I mean by that is they're more dense calorically. So when you think about proteins and carbs, for every gram of both proteins and carbs, there is 4 calories. Now, when it comes to fats, for every 1 gram of fats, there is 9 calories, which just means that fats are a little bit more dense. It also means that fats are a little bit more satisfying than carbs. And so ironically, even though fats are more dense, you're way more likely to overconsume carbs because fats are more satiating than carbs are. And so some people might be tempted to think, well, because fats have a higher, denser caloric makeup, that means that I should avoid them. Well, that's not necessarily true because they're satisfying in a similar way to the way that protein is satisfying. Fats are satisfying as well. And they play an important role when it comes to our overall health. And so number one, when we're talking about fats, let's talk about some of the positive things that fats do for us. Number one, they play an important role in brain health. Although carbs are the preferred energy source for the brain, fats play an important role in brain health. In particular, omega-3 fatty acids have been proven to have a positive impact on brain health. And so fats are beneficial when it comes to maintaining our brain health, as well as our cell health for similar reasons. When it comes to cell production and cell health, fats are important, as well as for hormone production. If you were to cut out all your fats, particularly for women, things would get really hairy really fast because your hormones wouldn't be able to regulate and produce like they should. And so when you consider those three benefits, we reach the conclusion that just like proteins are essential, fats are essential in your diet as well. And so you're never going to be at a place where you can completely eliminate fats. And the only reason I mention that is because it's a lot of people's goal to eat as little calories as possible. And they think, right, it's not a correct thinking, but they think that by eating as little as possible, they're going to reach their goals. And so they try to cut out carbs or they try to cut out fats and they try to cut these things out. But as we can see, fats are essential because they play an important role in brain health, in cell health, as well as hormone production. You're never going to be able to avoid eating fats. And so we're going to be much better served focusing on how can I eat the right amount of fats for me. The second thing when it comes to fats is some people will ask, well, what types of fats are bad? And so I'm going to give some specific guidelines as well as some overarching guidelines as well. Number one, we do know that trans fats are not the best for us. And the reason why trans fats are even on the market is because when we look back at history, there was a time when people were afraid to consume saturated fats. And so what happened is because people were afraid to consume saturated fats, trans fats were artificially produced in order to take their place. And this is always going to be the case when you remove something that is essential, right? You can't just remove it. You have to replace it with something else. And so what they replaced it with is trans fats. And we do know that trans fats, because they've been kind of artificially placed into food, they're not the best for us. And so when you're looking for, okay, I know I need to consume fat, so what kinds of fats should I consume? Really, the overarching principle is the only fats you should really seek to avoid are trans fats and, of course, fats that you don't like. There are certain sources of fats that I don't prefer to eat, and so I just don't eat them. But the two categories of fats to avoid would be trans fats as well as those fats that you just don't enjoy. For example, I enjoy avocados, but you might not. And so if you don't enjoy avocados, then just don't eat them and instead choose another source of fat. Number three, when it comes to fats, is asking the question, well, who benefits from a high fat diet? Because there are certain people that will benefit from a high fat, low carb diet. And so just like we talked about with carbs, there are certain groups of people that will benefit from a high-fat diet. And this, again, highlights the big nutrition principle, and that is that nutrition is always customized to you, your needs, and your body's response. But there are certain people that we know in particular will benefit from a high-fat diet. Number one, we know that certain people that have neurological disorders will benefit from a high-fat diet. For example, people that suffer from seizures. Those kinds of people will benefit from a higher-fat, low-carb diet because there's something about the digestion of carbs that triggers seizures at a more frequent rate than if they were to switch over to a high-fat diet. It's been observed over and over again that people that suffer from seizures when they switch over to a higher-fat, low-carb diet, that the frequency of their seizures are less often, and so that group of people can definitely benefit from a high-fat, low-carb diet. Also, people with gut issues. In particular, people that have an unbalanced bacterial makeup in their gut. And the reason that that's the case is because bacteria plays an important role when it comes to the digestion of carbs. And if your gut microbiome is totally unbalanced and then you consume a bunch of carbs, you're going to have a tough time digesting that. And so people with gut issues, people that when they eat carbs have a digestive problem, they're going to benefit from a high-fat, low-carb diet. And also people that have blood sugar issues, things like diabetes or some other form of insulin resistance, those kinds of people obviously will benefit from a higher-fat, low-carb diet just for the purpose that it will keep their blood sugar in check. Now, at the end of the day, none of this really matters if you don't know how to apply it to yourself. So we're going to conclude with the question, well, what about me? What does all this information have to do about me, my nutritional needs, my diet, and how I can progress towards my goals? Well, it really comes down to, if you don't suffer from any of the issues that we mentioned that would benefit from a high-fat, low-carb diet, then fats are going to be perfectly fine for you to incorporate into your diet. And when you aim to incorporate those fats into your diet, you want to aim to have the makeup of your calories be somewhere between 20% to 40% fats. And that's going to depend on what kind of foods that you prefer to eat. Again, it comes down to individuality. If you prefer foods that are higher in fat, then you're probably going to tend to like and be more consistent with a diet that is higher in fats and lower in carbs. However, if the inverse is true and you prefer foods with a lot of carbs, then you're probably going to benefit from a lower fat and a higher carb diet. Again, aiming somewhere between 20 to 40% of your overall calories being made up of fat. Because again, fats are essential. You should not and you cannot cut them all the way out because, again, they're important for brain, cell, and hormone health. And then lastly, the thing that you'd want to keep in mind is the source of your fats. Again, avoiding trans fats. And then when you purchase fats, just keeping in mind, okay, how can I purchase fats that are in their most natural state? For example, if you're comparing things like corn syrup and olive oil is going to win out in that choice. The reason that is because think about the sources of those fats. Think about corn and think about olives. When you take an ear of corn, are you able to take that corn and to squeeze it and see oil drip out? And the answer is no. And so the process that corn oil has to go through in order to reach that final state of being an oil is pretty intense and pretty artificial. But on the other hand, when you think about holding an olive and you squeeze that olive, can you see juices and oil flowing out of that olive? And the answer is yes. And so because the olive oil is in its more natural state, then olive oil would be the preferable option when comparing corn syrup and olive oil. And so whenever you have those options, just think which one of these options is in their most natural state and then just opt for that one. And with all that being said, I hope that was helpful for you. I hope it demystified fats for you and that it was super beneficial. And with all that being said, I hope you have a great day. Oh, and P.S., always take a look down in the show notes below as there is links to my other social media handles. You can go and follow me other places, as well as there's probably a resource down there that'll be helpful for you.